Okay. Yeah, let's give it up. That was pictures from last weekend's beach baptism. We've been baptizing people each month here, and this last weekend we baptized 25 new people, making a fresh start for God. Come on, that's wonderful. And we had some people that gave their hearts to the Lord last weekend here, and then they went down to the beach and they were baptized as believers. And then one lady was walking out and I didn't recognize her, and I said to Holly, who was out there with me, I said, do you recognize this lady? And she said, no, I don't recognize her either. And I said, what's your name? And she said, my name is Bobby. I said, Bobby, are you saved? She said, yes, I am. I said, when did you get saved? She said, a few minutes ago on the beach. She heard the testimonies of people that were changed by the power of Jesus, and she made a choice to become a follower of Jesus right on the beach and was baptized to the glory of God. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here, friends. That's why we're here. And I'm glad you're here as we continue. This is a very important day, and I'm glad you're a part of it. Some of you had to really, by faith, come today, and I believe the Lord's going to honor your faith. As we are in our series on Snapchats of Jesus, little pictures of Jesus from the scripture. And today we are in Mark chapter 5. And we've looked at all kinds of pictures of Jesus. Jesus at the party where they ran out of wine. And Jesus at the pool where the man was healed. And last weekend, Jesus sending out the 70 into the community because he doesn't want the church to just stay in the building. He wants the church to be in the community. Could I get an amen on that? That's just true. And today is a strange picture of Jesus. He's in a cemetery. And if you were going to take a selfie, that's a strange place for a selfie. And he's not only in a cemetery, and I don't know if you've ever been in a cemetery and got a creepy feeling. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. But Jesus is not only in a cemetery, he's in a cemetery with a genuinely bona fide demon-possessed dude. That's kind of a... And why would Jesus put that picture? Like, if you're doing your collection of pictures, you're doing your Instagram collection, why would you put a picture in a cemetery with a demon-possessed man? Because Jesus wants us all to know that we live in a spiritual world. We live, brothers and sisters, in a spiritual world. I know that you are most comfortable with the three-dimensional world. The chair you're sitting on is three-dimensional, and you're most comfortable sitting on that chair. But even physicists now generally agree that there are dimensions beyond the three dimensions that you can see. Einstein talked about a fourth dimension, the dimension of time. Because every 3D object has to be put at a position in time, and that gives a fourth dimension. In fact, time is a dimension that you can't see. You can measure time. You can watch your cell phone as it clicks off. You could tell me what time it is, but you can't see time even though it exists. In fact, if we put you in a dark room for a couple of days, didn't let you see the sunrise or the sunset, spun you around a few times, and said, now tell us what time. You can't see time, but it exists. And the Bible tells us that there are dimensions that are just as real as the chair you're sitting on, and they are spiritual dimensions of life. In fact, the Bible teaches us that the spiritual dimension of life created the three-dimensional dimension of life that you live in. It was the Spirit of God which created time and space. In fact, the Spirit of God created 4D, 2D, 3D, 1D. He created all the Ds. And Jesus lived in a spiritual world, and so do you. And so as we walk through this story of Jesus dealing with unclean spirits and evil spirits, we want you to know a few things as we walk through this story. And if you pull out your study guide, this will be very important for you to capture, and very important for, I believe, a moment of victory in your life. And I'll just say at the beginning, Jesus wants to bring many people in our gathering today to a place of spiritual victory that you have not received thus far. So I want you to receive the truth, because the truth will set you free. Okay? So the first thing I just want to point out from this story, this picture of Jesus in a cemetery, is this. You will, not maybe, you will in your life encounter evil spirits. Jesus encountered them. He encountered them in this story and in many stories in his life, and so will you. Here's how this picture of Jesus opens in Mark chapter 5. They came from the other side of the sea, and they came to the country of the Gadarenes. And Jesus, when he got out of the boat, immediately was met by a man who came out of the tombs, and the man had an unclean spirit or an evil spirit. Now, when Jesus was equipping his followers, how many followers of Jesus in the house today? Just making sure, okay? Okay, when he equips his followers over and over again, he wants them to be equipped for a dimension of life that is beyond the 3D. He wants to equip you to be successful in the realm of confronting evil. Here's a few of them. Let me just read a few scriptures that Jesus wants to put in front of you as followers of Jesus. Mark chapter 6, when he's sending out the 12 disciples, the 12 followers of Jesus, he summoned the 12. And he sent them out in pairs, or two by two. And what did he do? He gave them authority over unclean spirits. So as a follower of Jesus, Jesus wants to send you out into this world, and he knows. He knows when you go out into this world, you are going to meet unclean spirits, and he doesn't want you to be afraid. He doesn't want this to be a message of fear. He actually wants this to be a message of faith, that he wants to give you authority over evil. When he sent out his disciples in Luke chapter 9, he called the 12 together again, and what did he do? He gave them power. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody needs the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. I'll try it again. If you have not been successful in your spiritual life, it's because you don't understand yet the power of the Holy Spirit. And to be successful in your spiritual life, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave them power, and he gave them authority over about 50% of the demons. No. I'm glad you're following along. That's why it's important. Now, he gave them authority and power over, everyone say, all demons. So there, every demon that Jesus met, he overcame. Everyone. Every evil spirit he confronted, he overcame. And as a follower of Jesus, he wants you to live with the same authority and power. He gave them authority and power over all the demons and the power to heal diseases. Now, last weekend, we talked about him sending out the 70. And in Luke chapter 10, that's where we were. Well, when the 70 came back, here's the report that they gave as they went out with the authority and power that God gave to them. And the 70 returned with joy. And they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us, watch this, in your name. So how do you overcome evil? Get this. How do you overcome evil? In Jesus' name. That's very important. And I want to just point out from Luke 10 and Luke 9 that you overcome all evil, all unclean spirits in the name of Jesus. One of the great prayers I pray for our fellowship continually is that you would realize and have a spirit of revelation on the power that God has given to you when he gave you the name of Jesus, to live in that name, to pray in that name, and to minister in that name. Everyone just say with me, in the name of Jesus. Let's just say this, just while we're teaching right now. In the name of Jesus, there is victory in the house. Now, some people just say, well, I've never met an unclean spirit. Oh, yes, you have. You just didn't know it. There's two extremes, and neither one of them is healthy. Let me point them out. There are some people that every problem they have is a demon. Their coffee is too hot in the morning. It's a hot demon. I wouldn't remember. Heated up my coffee too. Somebody cuts them off at I-75. That demon just cut me off right there. That's an extreme, and that's not healthy. In fact, every problem Jesus had, not every problem he faced was based because of an unclean spirit. Not every one, and not every problem you have. But the other side of the equation, the other extreme, is just as dangerous. People that say, I've never had to deal with an unclean spirit. Because you have. It's why we need to pray. Here's a prayer. To receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that we learn about in 1 Corinthians 12. And the gift of the Holy Spirit that you need, I need, everyone needs this gift. Everyone needs to have the gift of discerning of spirits so that when you get into a circumstance and a situation, you learn how to say, oh, this is an unclean spirit. When Jesus got out of the boat, he knew what he was dealing with. This is an unclean spirit. And why is it important that you recognize that? Because unclean spirits and evil spirits exist they want to mess you up. And if you're taking notes, just jot this down. Evil spirits will create problems. They'll create problems for your life. They'll create problems for your family. They'll create problems for a church. They'll create problems for a business. They will create problems for a nation. Because they have an agenda. Evil has an agenda for your life. In fact, Jesus taught us what that agenda was. When Jesus was teaching us in John chapter 10, it's in your study guide, Jesus said the thief, the devil and all his demonic forces comes with an agenda. And the agenda is to kill and to steal and to destroy. That's the agenda of evil for your life, to mess you up, create problems that will actually ultimately destroy you. But Jesus came for another reason. Thanks be to God. Jesus came so that you would have life and that you would have life more abundantly. And so darkness has an agenda for your life. There are evil spirits, but thanks be to God, there also is the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit will lead you out of problems. As darkness leads you into problems, Jesus will get you out of problems. Now, just look at this guy that we find that Jesus meets in Mark chapter 5, and look at the problems that evil had created in his life. Verse 3, first of all, he was dwelling among the tombs, but not the best place to live. His home was in the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he often had been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. He was a wild man. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains or in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Can you see this as a problemed life? First of all, he lived in isolation. And often, unclean spirits will cause you to either live in isolation or make you feel like you're living in isolation. Have you noticed that they're not building condos in the tombs? The tombs are a place for the dead. Now, we can go there for burial. We can go there for remembrance. But basically, it is a very empty. When you drive by, you watch. Look, next time you drive by a cemetery, not a lot of people hanging out there because it's a place of loneliness. And this evil spirit had this man living in a place of loneliness. You could be experiencing that today. Even though you're surrounded by hundreds of people today, you could have a lying spirit saying to you, nobody understands you, nobody gets you here, nobody is for you in this place, you are all alone. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That's lonely. He lies that way. Then he lived amongst the dead. In a place of darkness and death and depression. And then he was crying out because he was incredibly sore. He was incredibly filled with sorrow. He's crying out in sorrow. Unexplained sorrow, weeping that you can't explain. And then he was cutting himself. He was actually involved in a self-destructive lifestyle. And that's what evil does. Now, I'm not saying that every person that battles with depression or has unexplained sorrow or is cutting themselves or involved in self-destructive habits is necessarily afflicted by an unclean spirit, but there are many people that are. Because notice this, this man could not be helped by natural means. Others tried to help him. They said, hey, we don't want you to cut yourself, and so we're going to put chains on you to keep you from hurting yourself. And by supernatural power, just how many know spirits give you power? Just like the Holy Spirit wants to give you power, unclean spirits give people power. And he had supernatural power to break chains. But he could not be helped by natural means. They wanted to help him. They wanted to say, hey, you shouldn't cut yourself. So we're going to put these chains on you. And he would break them. He couldn't be helped by natural means because his problem didn't begin in the natural. His problem began in the supernatural. And he could only overcome his problems by the supernatural means, not by natural means. This man could have gone to counseling for the rest of his life and not be helped, because that wasn't his problem. He could have gone to Christian counseling for the rest of his life and not been helped, because his problem was not organic or natural. His problem was supernatural, from the realm of the spirit, and it could only be overcome in the realm of the spirit. But I've got good news for you. Jesus knows how to do that. In fact, Jesus never met a demon he liked, and he's not afraid of them, and neither should you be afraid of them. You should be aware of their agenda for your life. And some of you have had long-term problems that you have tried to solve naturally over and over and over and over and over and over. And is that enough overs and over? Is that enough over and over? And you won't, it'll never happen. Until you have the discerning of spirits and you understand, oh, no. This is an unclean spirit. This is evil, and it needs to be dealt with in the name of Jesus. And when you turn and you start to see that it's the name of Jesus that sets you free, then you're ready for Jesus to bring you victory. And let me point this out. Jesus will bring you victory. I want you to know, it should have been a little more enthusiasm on that, because it's just true. Because there's somebody sitting by you that's hopeless, and they need to know that there's some faith in the house that Jesus can set them free. So let me say it again. Christ's power brings victory. Now let's affirm that. Come on. Let's all, everyone that believes that, let's affirm that. Come on. Let's affirm that. Let's affirm it. Because it's important. When Jesus spoke to that man, he said to him, and this is how Jesus dealt with evil and unclean spirits. You got to get out of here. Come out of the man, unclean spirit. That's how Jesus dealt with all evil. He removes it. It can't stay. Some of you need to pray that prayer over your home. Come out of here, you unclean spirits. You are going to have no more victory in this home. Some of you need to pray it over your own life personally, or have someone before you leave today. In Jesus' name, we are removing the evil from your life so that you can find healing. And the man had a conversation with him, and Jesus said, well, what is your name? He's talking to the spirit. And the man answers, my name is Legion. For we are many. Now, a legion, a Roman legion, could have anywhere from 2,000 to 6,000 soldiers. Now, I just want to point out, if you've been studying, that verse 2, when Jesus got out of the boat, verse 2 said that when the man came towards Jesus, he had an unclean spirit. And I want you to just know this. Evil spirits are liars. They're like their dad, the father of lies. So, and they love to make themselves seem bigger than they really are. So I don't know if there was 1 or 2,000, and it really doesn't matter to Jesus. 1, 2,000, 6,000, 10,000, they all are defeated and subject to the name of Jesus. And those dark spirits knew it. They knew it. They said, we're in trouble, man. And God wants you. I encourage you to read Ephesians 6. I'll pull one verse out. It's in your study guide. But I encourage you to read the chapter. You need to have the preparation for spirits to live in a spiritual world. Not just a physical world, but to live in a spiritual world. You need to have a thoughts, helmets of salvation. You need to have a breastplate of righteousness, a righteous covering over your heart. You need to have a belt of truth that holds you together. You need to walk in the shoes and with the shoes of peace. You need to have the sword of the Spirit, and you need to have the shield of faith so that you are able to stand against all the schemes of the enemy. He is scheming for you to do what? To kill, steal, and destroy. That's his schemes. And I don't know all the plans he has for you. I did talk about one plan he has for you last week. Do you remember that plan? I said, I don't know all the plans the enemy has for you, but I know he has one plan. Do you remember what that plan was? You got to know his plans to overcome his plans. Remember last week when I said one of the plans that the enemy has for you is to separate you from people you really need to be connected to. Do you remember that? Anybody? Nod your head, yes. I could preach the whole message over again just if you got time. It's just one of the things. Let me show you another scheme, and you should know about evil. Because there's a dialogue between this evil entity and Jesus, and the evil entity says, please, 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 don't send me out of this region. That's interesting. Because unclean spirits like to stay in the same regions. They like to work against the same organizations. They don't have a good work ethic. They don't want to learn new techniques. And they love to follow family lines. So this demon did not want to leave the region. He said, hey, would you please send me into those pigs? Because I don't want to leave this area. I like this area. Do you know that there are evil, unclean spirits that love Sarasota? Love it. Love this. They love it here. This is their place. And they have a strategy of attack against this community. Do you know that there are unclean spirits who are assigned to this house? They hate it, and they have a strategy. When we moved here in 1996, the fellowship of churches that we work with had tried to establish a spirit-filled church here for over 20 years before we arrived, and the church split, and the church split, and the church split. So when we arrived in 1996, we discerned that one of the spirits that was attached to this house was a spirit that caused splitting. So we pray. When you know the opposition that you're facing, you pray against it. And thanks be to God, and thank you to our intercessors, thank you to our prayer ministers, because by and large, we have had some skirmishes, but by and large, we've stayed together. And by the grace of God, we're going to continue. I just want you to be aware of that. Because what you can do, here's what happens. You bind evil, and it just waits for a more opportune time. You overcome evil, and it waits for a more opportune time. So if we are not diligent, it'll try to create gossip and bad feelings and a distrust. That's the way he works. And so you got to be aware of that. I know personally of unclean spirits that have an assignment against me. I know what their assignment is. I know how they attack. And so I diligently pray in that area of my life so that I can experience victory. If you notice this about families, that there will be some severe problems that don't have a natural basis, and granddad will have the problem, and the dad will have the problem, and the son will have the problem, because that's called a familiar spirit. It's a spirit that follows a family line. They love to stay in the same region. They love to stay against the same organizations, and there are some that are after you. So just be aware of that. And know, in the name of Jesus, you're going to overcome them. And these guys said, hey, don't let us leave this region. There's some pigs over there. Send us into those pigs. And so Jesus said, okay, go. Because I don't know why Jewish people are raising pigs anyway. And there were 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of pigs. Like, I've seen some pig pens with a few pigs in it, but to have 2,000 of them together, that's a lot of pigs. The pig business was big in this area. And there could have been 2,000 spirits, because somehow the evil spirits got a hold of the 2,000 pigs, and they ran, like, just without any sense. And what do? They destroyed themselves, because that's what evil spirits do. The same thing that they were working in the man, self-destruction, they did in the pigs. And the pigs ran off the cliff, and they went into the bay, and they drowned. And I wondered, as I was getting ready, I just wondered if pigs could swim. So I looked up, can pigs swim? And did you know that pigs are very good swimmers? I didn't know that. Aren't you glad you came to church today? You learned important information. Which means that the demons not only had to get them in the water, they had to get on their backs and drown them. They drowned them until there are 2,000 dead pigs 8,000 feet up in the air. It was called the Bay of Pigs. Now, that created quite a stir in the community, because when you have 2,000 head of pig, I don't know if that's a proper way to say that, but when 2,000 pigs kill themselves suicidally, it creates a stir. And they came out. Now, watch what they do. And here's how you can tell. Here's how you can, and this is the ultimate goal for God to give to you. He wants to move you from confusion, where everything is a mess and it's swirling, and he wants to bring you to a place of peace. That's what the work of the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Prince of Peace does. He brings us to a place of peace. And the people came out and they found this man in verse 15. As Jesus replaced the confusion with peace, they came out and they saw the one who had been demon possessed and had the legion, and he was sitting. He was always on the move. He was, and the Gospels tell us that he ran around without clothes on. And now he was sitting, much more peaceful. He was clothed, much more peaceful. And watch this. And he was in his right mind. Everybody say, in my right mind. Hey, come on. In my right mind. That's the goal. That you're not in a constant state of fretting and confusion and depression and self-destruction. There are spirits, not all, but there are some spirits that are part of an alcoholic's journey. A drug addict's journey, because it's self-destructive behavior. And those people are out of their minds. You ever heard somebody say it? He's drunk out of his mind. You ever hear that? He's messed up on drugs. And what the end game for God is to bring them into their right mind. And the way you get back into your right mind is by having a clean heart. Unclean spirits produce a lot of uncleanness. And Jesus comes to take a dirty heart and make it clean. And when he does that, the unclean spirit is removed and it's replaced by the presence of Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to do. Why did David pray when he had messed up with God? And when he prays in Psalm 51, he prays, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Because a clean heart produces a right mind, a clearer way of thinking. And that's what Jesus wants to do. And I speak this to you because I know it's possible to sit in church week after week after week and still let unclean evil reign in your life. And it's time to say no more. It's time to say, I'm going to invite Jesus to clean and to give me right thinking. I know it's possible because I've seen people that love the Lord, deal with unclean spirits. I've got stories that I could, and they're true stories. The spirit realm is real. Years ago, there was a young man that we led to the Lord. He's a new Christian, and we were discipling him. And in the midst of his early Christian walk, in the middle of the night, he called. And he says, "Scott, I need help." I said, "Well, what's going on? Where are you?" And he said, I'm in such and such a hotel." I say, "Okay." "And I'm with so-and-so." And so-and-so was another man's wife. I said, "You're in a hotel room with another man's wife. You know that's not good." He said, "Yeah, I know it's not good because she is levitating off the bed. And she is speaking in a voice that isn't hers. I think she's demon possessed." I said, "You think?" Pretty good. Floating in air, speaking. "Yeah, probably." And I said, So, "How can I help you? Why'd you call me?" He said, "Because the demons told me not to call Pastor Scott. And I figured if the demon said, 'Don't call Pastor Scott,' you're exactly who I should call." I said, "Okay. You want to get out of that situation? First of all, here's how it is. A clean heart comes from repentance. We need to get you out of that situation." And through repentance, he was restored, came back, left that behind so that he could walk in a right mind. The devil wants to give you a wrong mind, mess up your thinking. Jesus wants to bring you into a right mind, and some of the problems you face will never be solved until you understand this spiritual aspect of the world. It's beyond the three dimensions. It's in the realm of the spirit. But Jesus met them. You'll meet them. And Jesus doesn't want you to be intimidated or live in a spirit of fear, but he wants you to have great faith so that his work could overcome in your life today in Jesus' name. And I'm going to invite you all to close your eyes and to open your hearts to the presence and the power of Jesus Christ that is in this room. And we're going to pray a prayer in a moment to invite Jesus to do his work, which is to overcome evil, to overcome any and all unclean spirits that would be affecting you, affecting your home, affecting your family, creating problems that you've never been able to track down. Well, Jesus is here to help you, and we're going to pray a prayer that says, "Jesus, I want you to be at the very center of my world." And for those that are going to pray this prayer with me, and you know you need to pray it because you're drifted, you're far, you're not in a place with Jesus that you should be in, but today you'd like that relationship with Jesus to be established for the first time or reestablished. This is important that you find the faith today to say, I'm going to pray. Because when you call on the name of the Lord, he hears and he answers. I'm going to pray with you, Scott. I'm reaching out, and I want to just acknowledge your faith. And so I'm going to ask you to do two things. I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but I'm going to ask you to put your hand up high enough for me to see it and hold it up there till we make eye contact. Nobody else looking around, but I need to pray this kind of prayer today. Thanks. I'm glad you're here. Let Jesus do a work in you. Thanks. I'm glad you're here. Thank you. Jesus is going to do a work in your heart today. Today, let him do it today. Let him do it today. Let Jesus do a work in your heart today. Let me see your eyes, pal. Just want to acknowledge you. You matter to God. You matter to us. So we want to just acknowledge you. Way over here. Thank you. Yeah, Jesus is going to do a work in your heart today. Let him. Don't let the enemy rip you off anymore in Jesus' name. This is a day of victory for you in Jesus' name. Who else would just say, "Hey, that's me. Pray for me. Put up high enough for me just to see your hand." We want the work of the Holy Spirit in this room. And so we're going to stand and we're going to pray. Everyone, please standing. Our prayer team is coming. I want them to be prepared to minister in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Here's our prayer. I want us all to pray it all out loud. Make this a declaration of your faith today. Lift your voice and say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name because I need your help. I need your salvation. I need your forgiveness. I repent of my sins. I leave uncleanness behind. Uncleanness leaves my life." Say it out loud one more time. "Uncleanness leaves my life in Jesus' name. And I receive grace, forgiveness, love, mercy. Help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Praise be to the Lord. Praise be to the Lord. Okay. Now, in a moment, our worship team is going to just lead us. And you need to come and pray. Some of you need to pray because you're getting right with God. And you need to tell our prayer team. Some of you need to come and pray over your family. Because you have a son or a daughter. Or a grandson or a granddaughter. And you know. Or you're receiving insight today that the problem is an unclean spirit that has been assigned to them, and you can intercede for them. You can intercede for them and pray that the power of darkness would come off of them, that God would open their eyes, that they would come to their right mind again, and you can pray. So we're going to pray in Jesus' name. I want to ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow through our prayer team. You can also come to the communion table and think about what Jesus won for you on the cross. Your victory is won because of what Jesus did on the cross. And as you take the bread of the Lord and the cup of the Lord, you can say, thank you, Jesus, that you cried out from the cross. It is finished. He won the victory. If you could see the conflict between light and darkness, it's not equal and opposing forces. Light always overcomes. Light always overcomes darkness. Did you see the eclipse? No, you couldn't see it here. Do you see it? About 80% of the sun was blocked. But never got. No, I looked to see if it got dark here. 80% of the sun not shining. Still light. Must be the sunshine state. Because light always overcomes darkness. And so we want the Spirit of God, the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, to turn the light on today and dispel darkness, and for people to step into a new level of freedom and new level of understanding. The enemy will be defeated and Jesus Christ will be victorious. Hallelujah. 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 So I'm going to pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to do his work. And the worship team is going to lead us. Communion tables are going to open. And you're welcome to. You don't have to be a member of this church to come for prayer or to come for communion. You can come and receive something from the hand of Jesus today. You can go with the grace of God when you need to, but let Jesus do what he needs to do in your heart and life. And so I just pray that the Holy Spirit will draw everyone that needs to be drawn and put a gift of faith in their heart. And I pray that God will give you the discerning of spirits, that you'll have a new sensitivity to understand. You'll have a new understanding to understand the realm of the spirits. In Jesus' name, I bless you. And in Jesus' name, you are very, very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Worship team, and please come. Please come, and we're going to pray together. Let's come and pray together in Jesus' name. Just step out. Step out by faith. Just receive what God has for you today in Jesus' name.